Welcome everyone to a special episode of the Amazingly Average Show. This time we are going to talk about the Oscar nominations for the year 2017. I'm Martin, and with me today I have Earl.
Good day.
You are in a good mood.
It's a day off. It's Monday. It's actually really nice. It's kind of scary. It's like it's like 55 and sunny. It's Monday, President's Day in the States as of this recording. So yeah, I'm just chipper. I've had it. It's, you know, like when you're well rested, energetic. So far, our president hasn't done or said anything stupid just today. So it's always a good day when I can have a few hours of normalcy.
So the plan for this show is that we go through all the nominations, see what our favorite for the category might be, and predict what the Academy will probably pick as the winner. We are going to start with writing original screenplay and then work our way up to best feature. That sounds good to you?
That sounds fantastic.
Okay.
I will just say, there are some of these that I don't think either one of us have either delved into or know enough about. So a lot of these will just kind of be skimmed over. And then the bigger ones, like best actor, best actress, will be ones that we kind of dive into a bit more.
Okay, so first category is writing original screenplay. And nominated are Hell or High Water, La La Land, The Lobster, Manchester by the Sea, and 20th Century Women. So, Elle, what do you think?
Well, I think, and I'll probably say this from out of these, I think La La Land takes it. I do think that's going to be the sweetheart of the awards. Mm. And so I see that just keening up there. I mean, it's a well-written movie, and we'll dive further into our thoughts on that movie a bit later on. Mm-hmm. And I don't really see anything else here that kind of competes on that level, or is talked about in the same way.
Mm. I would agree. So for what the Academy is going to pick, I would also say La La Land. It's well written, or written well enough, and thematically it's something that the Academy just loves, basically talking about how great Hollywood is. otherwise, my personal favorites would probably be The Lobster or Manchester by the Sea. I just think Manchester by the Sea is a really well-written drama, and The Lobster is just very original. So those two would probably be higher up on my personal list from this category.
Okay.
Next up, we have writing adapted screenplay, starting with Arrival, Fences, Hidden Figures, Lion, and Moonlight. So for me personally, there are some real heavy hitters in there, like some of my favorite movies overall from all these nominations, to be honest.
Yeah, I have the same problem. Like, a lot of these movies, I've seen it, and I can say that I can see a lot of them taking it. I'm just gonna, it's weird, and maybe I'm wrong in this one. I'm gonna take out Fences as a nominee, as a contender here, because I think, from what I understand, it's super kind of a strict translation of the play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it tends to go more towards stuff that can take another, you know, a book, a screen, whatever, and kind of adapt it into a good movie instead of just taking a play and making it into a movie.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's a toss-up, but I want to go with Moonlight just because I think it had a lot more to juggle with the three different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it did a good job of adapting that into a very, you know, well-structured and paced movie.
I would probably agree with you. I just recently watched Moonlight, and I really liked it. And just like you, I think how the structure of the film, of these three different time periods, we see basically the development of our main character, are really well handled. Way better handled than a lot of movies do that kind of stuff, I thought. So that's probably a top contender. Also, I think, like, thematically right now, this also is probably something the Academy would pick.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah, but personally, of course, Arrival, I think, is also a pretty strong contender here, especially considering Arrival was just a short story, and adapting those can be tricky.
Yeah, and I would also say, and is it, this is where it's always very difficult for the more technical awards, because I think that movie has a lot more to juggle with its screenplay and how it's presented on screen, and it does a great job with that. But how much of that is writing and how much of that is like editing and direction?
Yeah, exactly. Like what this movie is about a lot of time is linguistics, and making that into an interesting screenplay is a challenge in itself, I would assume. But like I said, other parts of that movie probably also factor in here, so hard to say. Like personal favorite, probably Arrival, but I'm going to say Moonlight, maybe followed by Lion for the Academy.
Yeah.
Okay, visual effects. Another toughie, I think, but let's see. We have Deepwater Horizon, Doctor Strange, The Jungle Book, Kubo and the Two Strings, and Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Okay, I mean, I could be wrong here, but to me, this is a two nominee category. To me, it's either Jungle Book or Kubo and Two Strings.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I like the visual. Okay, I'm also going to say I haven't seen Deepwater Horizon, but I've seen everything else here. And I think, especially with Kobo, since the entire movie is kind of this whole paper mache, it has a style that they have to continue out throughout the entire movie. But The Jungle Book, I guess to me, again, it's one of those movies that it just seamlessly merges actual actors with CG and the environment, because so much of that is done on a green screen that you don't even notice it. And I think just that dedication to it, and being that it comes together so well, when really I think there's one human character in this entire movie. So just think about how much of the rest of that world is added in after the fact.
In that sense, I would agree about the Jungle Book, but personally, when I saw, like, there were just a couple of scenes where the environment just felt too unreal to me. But maybe you could say that benefits the whole fable kind of thing. I don't know, but maybe that's just me. Personal favorite would be Kubo and the Two Strings, just because it's fantastic stop motion work, which then is enhanced by some CGI effects, but you rarely notice them, and that's a tricky thing, especially in a stop motion film. So that to me was really impressive. So personal favorite, definitely Kubo, but I wouldn't count out Rogue One personally. Like the third act is quite spectacular.
I guess I'm just, well, we'll see. Because I mean, it's not that I don't think like Doctor Strange or Rogue One don't have great visuals and don't have great visual effects. I just feel like I tend to think action movies get looked over in a certain regard because they are so heavily reliant on visual effects. Because like, I mean, I guess it's also part of me, like you said, the unnatural parts of the Jungle Book, and then you think of like the unnatural humans in Rogue One.
Well, that was one, right?
Two.
Well, okay, you're right, two. I'll be honest, unlike a lot of people, it didn't bother me that much.
And I get that, but at the same time, I'm just like, if you want to say like, there's blemishes here, like you have to apply that to Rogue One the same way you would to Jungle
Okay.
Book, and I
Okay.
think those stood out a lot more to people than the Jungle Book did.
So, what would you say is a personal favorite, though? So, you would say Academy Jungle Book, but your personal favorite?
I would say that I think, I mean, personally, I want Kobo to win just because I do think it needs that recognition to kind of get over the hump. It's a great movie that I don't think enough people saw, especially in a year that saw a ton of great animated movies. But I do see the Jungle Book taking this.
Okay. Now that we talked a bit about it, yeah, I guess. The Academy will probably pick Jungle Book. I would agree. But I also just wish it would be Kubo because I love that movie so much. And like I said, I don't think enough people have seen it.
Yeah. So hopefully it takes up some awards and that drives people there. I mean, there's nice sets out there already. I got a set for $25 with this and the three other films from them, Trolls, Box Trolls, Coraline, and Paranorman. So good stuff all around.
Okay, now we get into the categories I always have a hard time with.
Yes.
Starting with sound mixing, we have Arrival, Hacksaw Ridge, La La Land, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. I'm saying I'm having a hard time with this because I never know if the cinema I'm sitting in is, like, in any way well enough equipped to actually appreciate the sound mixing.
Yeah, and it's always, like, sound mixing is one of those, I always get it confused with sound, I used to get it confused with sound editing, but I actually went to Warner Brothers Studios last year, and that really helped me differentiate it, because they actually had, like, a sound mixing booth where they went through and they took out each layer of a scene in, what is that movie with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock in space? Gravity.
Yeah.
And that, you know, once they, you know, they took out, like, her speaking, they took out the ambient noise from space, they took out the music, they took out the sounds that the machines make, and taking that out, it gives you a much better appreciation. Mm-hmm. And again, where I think visual effects sometimes, you know, action movies are and heavy, personally speaking, I would give it more to something like an action movie because you're mixing so many different sounds. And in that regards, I would go with Rogue One. Because there's so much at play in that movie.
I would go with Rogue One or Hacksaw Ridge. Ridge, the battle scenes in that are quite something to hear.
Yes. And here's where I'll be bitter and say that it's probably going to go to La La Land.
I agree. And to me, like you, I think that's a shame. I mean, it's a good sounding movie, but it's not.
It's not
spectacular in a way, sound mixing. It's something like you said, Rogue One, an action movie where so much stuff is going on.
Yeah, well, you have, like, you know, you have the shift, you have the dialogue, you have the music, you have the action, you have, you know, there's a lot of things where it's like music over a score. I mean, music over a scene, and that's pretty much it. Like, there's sound and stuff, but there's not a complex layer of sound editing being done or mixing. There isn't that, you know, it's not multi-leveled in the same way that an action movie would be.
Yeah, maybe for the songs themselves, but the movie doesn't just consist of songs.
Yeah. And then the other one that, we might as well, sound editing.
Yeah. You go ahead.
Which is Arrival, Deepwater Horizon, Hacksaw Ridge, and Sully. Now, sound editing is the one I have issue with, because I don't necessarily know what that means.
Me neither, to be honest. I never quite understood what sound editing is, but I guess we have to pick something?
I'm just going to go La La Land again.
Okay, let's go La La Land. That probably makes sense. Okay, moving on. The next one will be short film live action, and the problem is, watching short films a lot of time is kind of impossible, so we're basically just doing these categories for completion's sake. I don't think either of us has seen any of these short films, right?
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
So, just for completion's sake, short films. Ennemi Intérieur, La Femme et les TGV, Silent Nights, Sing, and Time Code. Like I said, we haven't seen any of these, so it's hard to say what we would think of Academy would pick. Next up, we have short film animated, and for that, the nominations are Blind Vaisha, Borrowed Time, Pear Cider and Cigarettes, Pearl, and Piper.
I'm just going with Piper. I mean, I don't know, I'm just picking something out of the hat at this point.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. Like, from the first one, I'm just going to go with Ennemi Intérieur because it's French.
Okay, that works for me.
And Piper sounds nice. Okay, let's go with that as well.
Okay.
Okay, now we're getting back into categories we can actually have a real opinion about. Production design. We have the nominations are Arrival, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Hail Caesar, La La Land, and Passengers. I haven't seen Passengers, but the others I've seen.
Can I just say this and I think costumes are usually, makeup and hairstyle and costumes are usually the three categories I just have the most issues with, because I always find that the Oscars picks like the most boring things for these. I mean, again, I guess I'm biased, but I always feel like these things should go more towards like the big blockbuster movies. Like, I remember a few years ago, like the winner was like, I forget that black and white movie about Hollywood, but I'm like, the whole design was like, yes, The Artist. It's like, oh, the whole design is making it, I guess, the 1920s. I'm like, that's not really a design. That's like costuming. Like, that's retro. Where, like, I get this just, and I'm like, if I had to go with anything, I'd go with a Fantastic Beast because it creates an entire world. But I'm imagining based, like, I'm imagining again, it's going to go to something like Anne, which, you know, has a really nice aesthetic to it, but its aesthetic is really random time Hollywood.
Yeah, I would agree with your assessment of these categories. And personally, I would probably either pick Fantastic Beasts for the reason, exactly the reason you mentioned, in how it creates its world. I thought like Fantastic Beasts was just, all the sets were really interesting to look at. But actually my other favorite is Hail Caesar, I have to say. Like, I really like their fake set designs and how in parts over the top and this over the top nostalgia feeling they kinda presented to the audience, I thought was really great. So that would be my other pick.
Yeah, that was my number two as well, for the same reason. Like, even in the commercials, you can see its distinctness. And like, so that, you know, that speaks to what those people had to do to create this illusion of this world. Where, like, you can say some of these other movies, like, I love Arrival, but Arrival's design is
minimal.
Yeah. Which works for it, which is what it calls for, but
it's one of my favorite movies. I'm not bad-mouthing it, just from that perspective of what to me was the most spectacular production design. It was either Fantastic Beasts or Hail Caesar.
Yeah.
But what do you think will actually be picked by the Academy?
Oh, I don't know.
And I think it's such a shame. I mean, some of it looked interesting, but I just don't think it's...
We'll get to it more later with costume, but I think the thing that works for that movie for me is that it has a great use of color, where, like, the characters tend to have more bright and poppy colors, and the backgrounds tend to be more muted, so it pops. And again, I guess that's more of the musical nature of the film, but I like that, and I can see it taken for that, and, you know, like, the scene where they're walking through, like, the Hollywood backyards of Warner Brothers, and you see the different, you know, areas where they shoot films and the magic behind making movies, which, again, you know, it's a coin flip, because the production of that is really filming in the Warner Brothers back out. It's not anything special, but it's visually different for a film.
Okay. Next up, we have Music Original Song, and the nominations are Audition, The Fools Who Dream from La La Land, Can't Stop the Feeling from Trolls, City of Stars from La La Land, The Empty Chair from Jim, the James Foley Story, and How Far I'll Go from Moana.
Okay. Well, just as a quick aside, and this is probably the only time I'm going to say this ever, is I feel like this is the category that Suicide Squad was robbed from. Because I say what you will about Suicide Squad, but the songs created for that movie were actually really good. And I was disappointed that none of them got a nod here.
But original song? I honestly can't think of an original song in that movie.
Purple Lamborghini, Sucker for Pain, and Heathens were all original songs for that movie.
Okay. I didn't know that. So, personally, though, I want to give out a shout-out to Moana, I guess. I just saw that, and I was surprised how much I liked the songs in there, and that How Far I'll Go was actually really cool.
I will say this much. I saw Ayo and Moana in the same weekend. And, you know, like, and a big musical, but I just fell so much more in love with the music from Moana. I think it, because it has a very distinct sound to it, like, mm-hmm. It's not typical Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what made it so special. Granted, I've seen the movie once, so I'd have to go back through and listen to the soundtrack. Because I don't know which song is which, because my favorite was kind of her, even the island song. And I don't know if that's How Far I'll Go. But I'm not. This is the category I won't give Ayan crap for. I will say City of Stars is a really good song, and I see that taking this category.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to Moana, but this is probably the category where I also am in favor of La La Land winning. I'm just not sure which one. I like both of them.
Yeah, and
but, see, that's so it's really hard to say which one I like more.
See, I don't. I mean, I think they're gonna come together, but sometimes that could hurt it because like, you can split the vote where half the people say this is a good song, half the people say that's a good song, and then what's gonna happen is the third face is gonna win because you split the vote between the two songs you wanted.
Maybe. But I'm gonna say favorite also City of Stars, and I also think either that or Audition is going to win. I'm not going to nail myself to which one is going to actually win.
Yeah, and I mean, just to kind of throw it out there, actually, I Can't Stop the Feeling as well. I don't think it's gonna win, but it's a really fun song. It's weird though. I don't associate it with Trolls at all. I think partially because the song came out in like April of that year, and the movie came out in September.
Okay, interesting. Oh well, music original score. The nominations for that are Jackie, La La
Okay, we can just save
Land,
ourselves the trouble and say that Ian's gonna win this
La
one,
La
right?
Land, Lion, Moonlight, and Passengers. And out of all of these, I would say La La Land probably was the best, and I also think the Academy will pick La La Land.
I don't see any fight against that. I'm not gonna discredit this movie for its music. Even just the musical score is really it's very not poppy. What am I? It's kind of happy and innocent, I guess is the term.
It's also just easy to listen to. It's really
Yeah, it's that's why I didn't want to say
no matter
poppy.
what kind of music you usually like, I think this works for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like it's not poppy, but pop in the sense of popular, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so next that was an easy one.
Well, I mean, it's a musical. Like, if it doesn't win, that says something
It would
about
be
you.
weird, right? Yeah. Next up is makeup and hairstyling. To me, that's, by the way, a weird category this year. We have A Man Called Ove, Star Trek Beyond, and Suicide Squad. So I have to say, A Man Called Ove, I haven't seen. No, Ove, I think it is. That's a Swedish film, if I'm not mistaken. But when I think about makeup and hairstyling, like, even to big blockbusters like Star Trek Beyond and Suicide Squad, they don't even stick out that much to me.
See, I was going to disagree with you in that sense, with Suicide Squad. And again, I don't want to defend this movie, but if there's one thing you can take away from it is it has a very distinct style. Like you'll know Su and I think most of this, and I could be wrong, I'm assuming most of this is probably related to Harley Quinn. And in that sense, her bubblegum
Probably Killer
hair.
Croc, right? As well.
Yeah.
I guess.
So in that sense, I can see it for Suicide Squad, because people had their issues with the designs and the tattoos and stuff like that. But it's a very distinct visual movie in that sense. Now, how they use it in the movie with it being grungy and messy and dirty doesn't work as well. But I see it from that, like the characters alone, take them out of that movie and leave the same designs. I do think they stand out.
Yeah, from that perspective, they probably stick out also more than the characters than in Star Trek Beyond, to be honest.
Yeah.
I can barely even remember anything special about the makeup and hairstyling in that movie.
But I am gonna go with A Man Called Ove because I mean I don't think Star Trek sticks out enough, and I don't see the Academy really awarding a movie that's kind of critically panned so badly.
Okay, then I'm going to go against you and say my pick would be Suicide Squad, and I also think the Academy will pick Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Just because I don't know Man Called Ove that much, I think mostly it's because of old man makeup, but I'm not sure. I think didn't some other film basically win because of old man makeup? What was it called?
It might have. I like these are the awards that I don't want to sound. I feel like these are the
What was
awards
the
you don't
name
have.
of that Brad Pitt movie where he ages?
Oh, Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button, yeah, that basically won because of old man makeup, right?
I mean, that was a bit different, but yes, I get it. I mean, we've come a long way from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 and their old man makeup.
Yeah, okay, next up is a category I feel really bad about not having seen any of, and it's because one is actually from Germany.
Have you not even seen the one from Germany?
No, I haven't. Okay, let's go over this. Foreign language film, Land of Mine. Sorry, it doesn't say which country they're from. That would actually be good information. Do you have that on hand?
No, I do not.
Damn it. Okay, let's... I know it from a couple of movies. So, foreign language film, Land of Mine, A Man Called Ove, which I'm pretty sure is Swedish, The Salesman, which I think is Iranian, Tana... Yeah. I don't know where that's from.
Not
and
sure, yeah.
Tony Erdmann, which is from Germany.
The German, yeah. So Denmark, Sweden, Iran, Australia, and Germany.
Okay. Pretty diverse from country perspective. So one thing I want to get out at right from start. I saw the South Korean film The Handmaiden. And to me, that movie is totally missing from that list. But I later also heard that apparently that wasn't even the official entry by South Korea, so I have no idea what they were thinking about entering. That's just for me. That would be probably my favorite film that is not even nominated.
Yes. And like I said, I've not seen any of these, and I'm not going to even try to wager a guess.
I heard really good things about the Iranian entry, The Salesman. So I'm probably going to go with that one, that the Academy might pick that.
That works for me.
I'm probably still going to watch A Man Called Ove, The Salesman, and Tony Erdmann, to be honest, because I'm pretty sure two of those are already on Amazon Instant over here, so I can maybe watch them. Okay, next up, film editing. A technical category we can probably talk pretty well about, so that's nice.
I was disappointed that Suicide Squad was not nominated for this. No, I mean, that is apex of film editing.
What a surprise. Film editing, Arrival, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, La La Land, and Moonlight.
So, and it's always weird because I don't want to spoil anything, but kind of going back to the topic, the discussion we were having earlier, this, I think, is Arrival's category to win. Because, like we were saying before, I don't necessarily know if the screenplay makes this work, but I do think the editing makes it work. Because in order for that entire movie to kick the way it does, there's a lot of things that has to be told to the audience at a specific time so everything makes sense by the end.
Hmm, okay. Interesting perspective. I'm not sure I agree. I think the editing was really good in this movie. That's... All of these movies are nominated for a reason. But I don't know if I would pick Arrival here. I might actually pick Moonlight myself from my favorite because of how we talked about the different timelines. Of course, that is partly scripting, but knowing where to, how to connect these different parts and the development of the character. How some of the scenes just play out is kind of spectacular, I thought. Like how sometimes they just let it go for a while and sometimes just go right over something else. It was just so perfect for me. So personal favorite would probably be Moonlight, I would say.
Okay.
I could also see Hacksaw Ridge just because of how, again, with war movies, they're always really complex to cut, especially action scenes like in that movie. Especially when your main character doesn't actually fire a gun, so making kind of what's happening around him spectacular and still make what he does look good and exciting in editing is also kind of an important thing.
I think war movies, especially really, really well-made ones, have that advantage because you kind of are able to get not necessarily multiple viewpoints, but you are able to have a very varied world that you can do different things in. And I think to your point, just having a character who, I don't want to say reactionary, but the fact that the world around him is happening while he's trying to avoid it, it could make for a great sequence. But again, like I said, I'm thinking of the whole movie. I just think that if Arrival, like, if it wasn't edited the way it was and certain things weren't given to the audience, a lot of that could just fall underneath that movie and it would collapse. Hmm. And I think it does a great job of that. And, you know, again, personal bias on how much I enjoyed a film in that regard. So I'm going with Arrival, and I'm also going to say the Academy is going to pick Arrival.
Oh, what will the Academy pick? that's difficult to say. I mean, the easy thing for me to say would probably be La La Land. But I would so not agree with that that I'm just going out to also say Moonlight here.
Okay.
I think that's fair because it was my favorite and yeah. Okay, documentary short subject. We have Extremis, 4.1 Miles, Joe's Violin, Watani, My Homeland, and The White Helmets. That's another category I have sadly not seen any from.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Extremis.
I would have also said Academy Extremis because I'm pretty sure that's about... I mean, thematically, I think it's about suicide help, if I'm not mistaken, for people who are terminally ill. I'm pretty sure that's it. It seems like thematically also like something the Academy might enjoy.
Okay,
documentary feature. We have Fire at Sea, I Am Not Your Negro, Life Animated, OJ, Made in America, and The 13th. I've seen one completely and one partly just because OJ Made in America is so freaking long. I was actually surprised to see OJ on here. Like when I think documentary feature, I only think about a film. And this to me is more a series because it's like, I think it's 5 parts and complete length is like 8 hours or something.
Yeah, just under 8 hours.
Yeah, I've only seen the first part. And I've seen The 13th. Which I have to say, I really liked. If you're not familiar with it, it's named the 13th because of the 13th Amendment, which stopped slavery, but has this clause in it where it kind of allows basically slavery as punishment for crimes. And the whole movie basically makes a case of how the American justice system is built in a way that it's not in favor of, or it's biased towards blacks, and nowadays even towards other minorities more than towards whites, and that it's set up in a way to keep more and more people in prison for longer times to then basically use them as labor. And I thought it was a fascinating documentary, made some really good points, and definitely worth a watch. And it's on Netflix, so that's an easy way to see that.
Yeah, I'm it's kind of biased, but I've heard a lot of good things, and I know it's been doing well at the other awards, so I'm going to go with I Am Not Your Negro.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I heard good things, but I haven't seen it, like I said.
Yeah, I've heard, you know, Academy goes completely against all this other stuff, but it does seem to be like I Am Not Your Negro is the one that's kind of been doing well at the, I don't want to say pre-award circuit, but you know, like those other awards that lead up to the Oscars.
Mm.
So we'll see.
Yeah, to me, like, I saw OJ and I liked the first part of OJ at least, and I thought it was just okay. I thought to me it was a bit too lengthy and a bit too plotting in a way, so that's why I don't think it's that great. One thing I would say, like, just with Best Foreign Film, I'm actually missing a movie on here, but maybe it wasn't, I don't know, culturally or politically relevant enough for the Academy, or it wasn't even nominated by New Zealand, I don't know, is Tickled. The documentary by a New Zealand filmmaker about... Well, it starts out about him trying to do a documentary about competitive tickling. And it ends up going into some really dark places and basically becomes a real-life thriller. It's an amazing film, and if you have a chance to see Tickled, you should definitely do it. And don't even look up where it's going or something, because when you just see it, it's... has even more of an impact. It's a spectacular documentary, in my opinion, and it kind of saddens me to not even see it on this list.
Okay.
Now we're getting to one of the big ones. Directing. Nominated are Arrival, Hacksaw Ridge, La La Land, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight.
Okay, of the ones I've seen, I think I'll give this one to Moonlight. Mm-hmm. And it's probably a weird reason why... but I think, again, juggling a same character against multiple actors, where you have to have some level of consistency while and keep creating this vision of making sure that these people kind of know, because you don't, you know, the same actor's not paying him as a teenager who's paying him as an adult. So you have to keep that in mind while you're focused on this and focused on the world and the characters. And it's not just him, there's other characters who ages along with him, and their dynamic and their relationship has to remain consistent. I know that's an odd reason to give it for it, but I do think it was a big challenge, I do think.
Also, I think the movie has a lot of interesting choices in how it lets some scenes play out.
Well, we'll get to that in a bit. See that it's always a twist because that can also kind of fall in cinematography.
Oh, I don't just mean on a visual level,
Oh, no,
just
I get that,
also.
but I mean, but I because a lot of because I think like okay, or because I guess what I was thinking about Moonlight, for example, some of that scenes, it's also like how it's lit and how like it frames the character, which is both a choice of the director and a choice of the cinematographer. So to me, it's like how much of that is direction, how much of that would they see as cinematography? Because I do think, and we'll get to that in the next two cat, or we can speak to it now, I guess, because it's very similar nominees. But I do think how a scene is framed and how it's lit and how, you know, the characters are bask in certain nights helps Moonlight. But again, I lean a lot of that stuff towards the cinematographer over the director. But direction is part of that. So it's like what part folds into what when they're considering this.
Okay, so for me, my personal favorite is probably unsurprisingly Arrival. I've been very open about Denis Villeneuve being right now probably my favorite director. To me, the man can do no wrong right now. And I also thought the direction in Arrival was just spectacular. But sadly, I don't think that's what the Academy is going to pick. Also because a lot of the time, director and best movie fall in line. So for what the Academy will pick, I'm going to say La La Land.
Okay.
Would you differ?
I see. I get what you're saying. And I agree with it. But I just feel like, again, I don't want to hate on La La Land. I enjoyed a movie, but I feel like it's nothing special. So I'm like, when I look at the direction, I'm like, yeah. And again, we'll get to that again with the next
We
two,
will
where I'll give.
definitely get into a deeper down the line, so.
Yes. So I guess we can move on.
Yeah. But what do you say? Would the Academy pick?
I can see and I'll
Okay.
go with
Okay.
that.
I just wanted to hear you say something. Okay. But we have at least different personal favorites, so that's something. Okay, costume design. We have Allied, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Florence Foster Jenkins, Jackie, and La La Land. So, first of all, I want to say I don't even know where La La Land is on here.
Well, see, this was going to go back to my previous rant about how sometimes I just find that it's like they, because the costume design, like I said, the costume design, I will give them credits because, you know, they get bright, big colors, bold colors, and it looks great and everything. But it's just like playing dress up here, where you
And
get something fancy,
a lot of male character is like, oh
just
look,
suits.
he has a bunch of nice suits. Great.
Yeah. You get something like Fantastic Beasts where it create like it's partially set in the 1920s New York, but it also creates a unique look and style for Newt and the characters around him.
Yeah, because it has to mix in all these magic elements, so it's they don't. All the folks from the magic world don't quite dress like normal people from the 1920s, and you can tell that just by looking at them. And to me personally, that movie would probably also be my favorite for costume design.
And you know, you'll get something like Jackie, which is really just replicating what somebody dressed like in the 1960s.
Which I guess is in a way,
It's not costume design, though.
I mean.
I do the same thing
There
for
is
Halloween.
craft to that, but
There is a craft.
it's not interesting.
Yeah, and I guess that's always been my thing. It's like you look at a ton of movies. I remember a few years ago, it was X-Men First Class, and I'm like, you know, X-Men First Class to me, no, that's Jackie in a way that I understand. It's a movie that's set in the 1960s, so they dress up characters to look like that. But then you get a whole new set of bright, different costumes that are unique to the movie instead of just replicating the era. So yeah, that's always been my issue with costume design. I do think, that's a realm that I feel more strongly about with, again, you look at something like Rogue One, a lot of those costumes are original.
True.
Because you don't have any reference points to go off of. You're just going off of, we're going to continue this methodology of the Star Wars universe.
Although for Rogue One, we could even say like they have original costumes, plus they have the added difficulty of having to do some stuff that has been done in the 70s, and they have to replicate that in some form or modernize it.
And that to me is kind of the stuff that I would that I appreciate more in costume design. But again, like you said, I think you mentioned this, or I talked over it. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them would be my pick from these nominees. But I see them giving it to La La Land because, again, I understand where they're coming from in that regard with the usage of colors in those costumes and how, like what fits Emma Stone properly, what makes her look like a, again, I don't want to spoil, but what makes her different from the start of the film to the end of the film? How does Ryan Gosling's style, replicate his character's arc and stuff like that?
Yeah, I agree. So, personal favorites for both Fantastic Beasts, but I guess we both agree on Academy would probably pick La La Land, even if we don't agree with that.
Yes.
Okay, next up, cinematography. Arrival, La La Land, Lion, Moonlight, and Silence. Sadly, I've not seen Silence, so that movie is kind of out of the discussion for me.
Okay. I'm gonna throw this out there because I've been championing this movie, Arrival. And I think
Even
one of the
without Roger Deakins, it's still a spectacular looking movie.
Yeah. And I think not only that, but one of the big things is I think, and I guess it depends. I think cinematography plays a part in the movie because of how you start to visualize the languages that they have to communicate in, and how that's framed for the audience. And I.
To me, a big part of the cinematography of the movie was the use of empty space, actually.
Yeah.
Because we have this big nothing in which that ship arrives, and when you're in there is kind of
A
it's just a
giant white
big
deck.
blocky room, but they still manage to make that look interesting.
Yeah, and they make it look interesting. Not only when she's facing that, but just kind of how they frame certain characters around her and how they frame characters nearer to the end. Again, it's really weird to talk around this movie. But I would also say that I think Moonlight's another one that has a lot of striking visuals. I think even just from like the opening shot of him standing out in the water, I think you get an idea of what this movie's going for, and I think it does a very good job of framing a lot of everyday scenarios as well, and to making it like something special.
Yeah, I would actually probably go though with personal favorite Moonlight, actually, would be for me. There were just a couple of scenes where the cinematography just blew me away. Like, it was a lot of the quiet scenes, actually. The moment when he's in the seawater with the character of Ali, and or near the end where he's just riding to basically his old crush in the car and stuff like that, where I thought like, man, this just looks so good right now,
Yeah.
and I couldn't get over it.
So yeah, I mean, like I said, Arrival is just kind of my personal darling, but I would totally give it to Moonlight. And I'm assuming that's what the Academy is going to do too.
You think Moonlight for my Academy?
Yeah.
I sadly think I could see that also
Don't
giving
say
it
it.
to La La Land. Doch,
Don't say
I
it.
can see it, sadly.
I'm not, and I don't want to fault that because there are some I think the most striking visual to me in that movie is kind of when they're doing the not the big final number, but the number before that, and they kind of run through like that empty room, and it has like the different landscapes, kind of like the imagination room, I guess, where it's
Oh,
like
but
half
there are a
finished.
couple more for me. Like,
Oh, there is, but
I
to me
thought
that's the big striking
I
visual.
thought at the start alone, like that scene when we get introduced to Emma Stone's character, when we go through the different rooms in her apartment, and then they go outside to party and stuff. I thought that entire sequence was quite spectacular.
Yeah, don't disagree.
So I would say I would like it to be Moonlight, but I can see the Academy picking La La Land.
Okay. I wanted to. I'm going with. They're going to pick Moon Knight.
Okay, that's fine. Next up, animated feature film, and the nominations are Kubo and the Two Strings, Moana, My Life as a Zucchini, The Red Turtle, and Zootopia. So from that list, I think we both have probably seen three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, sadly, I haven't seen Red Turtle. That starts in March over here. So, and I don't even know if My Life as Zucchini has run here or has a date, to be honest.
Yeah, so okay, this is a tough one for me when I have all the films. And up until recently I thought Zootopia was a shoo-in. And I'm just gonna say this, I think Zootopia will be picked by the Academy. Just because I do think, more than anything, I think Zootopia's message resonates so well with 2016.
Yeah. For the Academy, I will agree. And I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I actually enjoyed Zootopia quite a lot. And I thought that would be my favorite animated movie of that year. And that was quite early last year, like around
Yeah,
March, I think.
it was around that time, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, like, man, this movie has blown me away, and its message was good. It also was really funny. It looked really nice. So it is the whole package. But I then have seen Kubo and the Two Strings, and I think that movie is just so special. I mean, it has a very unique style. It has a unique scenario. You don't often see Western movies like tackling something like Asian mysticism and or fables. On a technical level, it's fantastic. I thought the story was really good. It felt quite mature for a kid's film, to be honest, or an animated film. I don't know how you want to say it. And for an animated movie, also, it didn't rely too much on like really stupid, you know, some animated movie tend to go in a human department for like real stupid slapstick stuff, and this movie really tries to avoid some of that humor, I thought,
Yeah,
which I really appreciated.
it's also not, I don't want to say dark.
In parts,
It is
it
dark,
actually is dark.
but yeah, it's kind of like, again, Zootopia, like you said, Zootopia tackles a very relevant social issue, but it does it in the guise of cute animals and, like you said, humor and stuff like that, so you don't necessarily take away the message, where Kobo never really hides from its message. And it
Kubo to me felt like a kid's movie I would have seen in the 80s. Like back then we had like movies that were not just animated films for happy-go-lucky, but we probably, I don't know if you did, but over here we saw stuff like, I don't know, The Last Unicorn, or what's the animated movie again with the rabbits?
The rabbits, that doesn't narrow it down.
Oh, the really brutal one.
Don't know.
It's based on a book. But I also saw Animal Farm. Let's go with that as well. It goes. Maybe it isn't quite as hard as something like Animal Farm, but like it felt more like a kids or animated movie I would have seen back when I was young, when they weren't afraid to be a bit darker at times.
Okay, and I'm just gonna throw this out there because I'm a fan, but I can see it not win. It's not gonna win. Moana, I do think it's. I guess it's more. It's the most classical Disney film they've done in some time, and even more so than Frozen or anything like that. And I do like to, for that to be rewarded, but it's not going to be. It's just a really good movie, and I recommend you check. Again, I think you should check out all these movies.
For Moana, like, I liked it. I liked it. But to me, like, it was...
Too comical?
To me, not even that. I thought it was really funny, but which was good. A movie can be funny. But to me, it was really... it couldn't touch something like Kubo's Utopia. To me, it being so classical Disney actually was to its detriment. Like, I thought, like, the plot structure was too familiar, the songs were too familiar. Also, big mistake to go with the dumb chicken over Pua, because Pua clearly was way cuter.
This is a topic for another day. But I was waiting for the dumb chicken to pay off in some manner.
That's probably true,
And the fact that they don't pay it off in any fashion was just disappointed. I was like, oh, maybe it's like a god hidden inside of a chicken form, or maybe the chicken's actually super intelligent, or it's going to help her in some fashion. I'm like, no, none of that ever happened, and I was really disappointed by it. Like, there was really one payoff to that joke, and it's during the climax when it survives, and the rock's like, oh, Maui, I guess. It's like, the chicken lives. I'm surprised. I'm like, okay, that's the big payoff.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it's probably better than a lot of animated movies out there, but we are talking about the Oscars here, and to me it's like it doesn't touch Kubo or Zootopia. But I'm with you that the Academy will probably pick Zootopia over Kubo, sadly.
Can I just say it's weird that we're in a year with a Pixar movie that's like not even in contendership for animated movie.
Personally, to me, it's not that weird. I sometimes question why some other Pixar movies were even nominated before.
I kind of get that, but it's weird. And that's the thing. I don't disagree with it at all. Like I liked Finding Dory, but it was nothing special.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird to think about. Like Pixar for like a decade was untouchable, and now we're in a year where Pixar's not even in the conversation.
Yeah. A lot has changed. Yeah. Personal favorite for us both, Kubo, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm gonna give it to Zootopia.
Yeah, I agree. We're in complete agreement here. But I'm actually really curious to see the Red Turtle, because I haven't heard about it before, and then I checked it out, and apparently it's a Studio Ghibli film, but the director is like a Dutch director who previously just made like animated short films, and it looks really interesting. Okay, next up, actress in a supporting role, and there we have Viola Davis for Fences, Naomi Harris for Moonlight, Nicole Kidman for Lion, Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures, and Michelle Williams for Manchester by the Sea.
I am just gonna go with Viola Davis and Fences.
Just because it's Viola Davis,
pretty much. But also just because, again, you know, like if you haven't seen enough movies, you just kind of go with where the wind's blowing, and the wind seems to be blowing Viola Davis' way this year with the Golden Globe and stuff.
Yeah, to me, it's weird. I know Viola Davis is great, but that's the only movie I haven't seen from that list. I liked Michelle Williams, but I feel like she maybe had two great scenes in that film. So even for a supporting thing, it doesn't seem like enough to me. I really like Nicole Kidman in Lion, I have to say. But Octavia Spencer and Naomi Harris are also quite something.
Yeah, and I do tough. See Hidden Figures getting some type of... I just don't know where.
Yeah, let's... I'm going to go with Octavia Spencer as my personal favorite, I would say. But for the Academy, I'm going to go with Viola Davis, like you.
Okay. And it makes it for Suicide Squad.
She wasn't that great in Suicide Squad, to be honest.
Actually, I thought she did great as Waller. I mean, she did what was expected of that character.
I mean, her material wasn't the best.
Yeah, I think you consider it. Anyhow, Suicide Squad is just my beat-up doll. Actor in supporting role.
Actor in a supporting role, yeah. You have Mahershala Ali for Moonlight, Jeff Bridges for Hell or High Water, Lucas Hedges for Manchester by the Sea, Dev Patel for Lion, and Michael Shannon for Nocturnal Animals.
And I mean, again, one, I enjoyed the movie, but just seeing how the wind's blowing, it's going to be Ali for Moon Knight. He didn't have, it was weird. I heard so much buzz about his role in that movie beforehand. I was surprised at how little he's actually in the movie, but what he does with his screen time is amazing.
I tend to agree. Like, I really loved him in Moonlight, but to me personally, this is a super tough category. I've seen all of these. I probably wouldn't. Lucas Hedges is probably out for me. But like I said, Mahershala Ali is like super amazing. He probably is like in the movie for 20, 30 minutes, something like that. But what he does here is really great. I also really like Jeff Bridges in Hello, High Water. That's probably the part I like the most about that movie. The movie didn't really do much for me otherwise, but Jeff Bridges was fantastic in it. Like, him being this older sheriff, I think he was just really great. Then Dev Patel Lion was really good. Like, he had some really emotional scenes to work. Especially when he had to reunite with his mother in India and stuff like that. And Michael Shannon in Nocturnal Animals also blew me away. So for me, it's between those four, I guess. And I have a really hard time picking which was my favorite. Favorite is probably either Michael Shannon or Mahershala Ali. Man, I'm gonna say Michael Shannon, because there probably was more Michael Shannon than Mahershala Ali. That's the only reason I'm going with him over Ali, as my personal favorite. What do I think will the Academy pick? I'm going to go with Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's his to use this year. We'll see.
Yeah, I love that guy, to be honest. I would say, like, the first time I really noticed him was, funny enough, in Luke Cage.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that he was the best part of Luke Cage, easily.
But
he
was so good in that, and now I've seen him in some other stuff, and he was also in Hidden Figures, and I really liked him in Hidden Figures as well. He doesn't have a big role, but
he's also in House of Cards, and I know who he is, but he didn't have much to do.
Yeah. That's probably something we can enter on. Give Mahershala Ali some, like, main roles, I guess.
See, here's the sad thing about it is I think after the year he had, I think it would be easy to see him as a leading man in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But he's back, so, you know.
Such a bummer, right?
Yeah.
Such a bummer. Like, he's so good. He definitely deserves it. But yeah. That to me is, by the way, like, one of the strongest categories, though. Like, when you've seen all these movies, like, that's a tough one to pick, to be honest.
Okay, yeah, I always think.
Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say, I always think the acting ones are always the toughest, because there's so many amazing performances. Where, like, some of the technical ones, I can say, okay, I don't know why this is nominated, but for acting, you go across the board, and it's like, I don't think I've ever really seen many where it's like, I don't think this person should have been nominated at all.
Okay, next up, actress in a leading role, we have Isabel Huppert for Elle.
Asking the wrong person to help with pronunciation.
Ruth Negga for Loving, Natalie Portman for Jackie, Emma Stone for La La Land, and Meryl Streep for Florence Foster Jenkins. Yeah, what do you think?
I want to just say not Natalie Portman for Jackie. and there's nothing against her, again, but she's just saying, I mean, to be fair, she took on the role so well that people mistake her for Jackie when they post pictures of her online now, but
that's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Emma Stone and
interesting.
Not my personal pick, but
okay.
Again, with just, this,
your Academy pick is what it is.
Yeah.
What would be your first personal pick?
I see, it's tough because I've not seen a lot of these movies. So I'm if I had to guess, I would go with Ruth
Okay.
in the oven.
My personal pick would also be Ruth Negga in Loving. I didn't care much for Loving, to be honest. I thought it was a bit overlong and too boring, to be honest. I don't know. Didn't do much for me, but I noticed that apparently I didn't like any of the director's movies before, so wasn't, I guess, too surprising. But every time she was on screen, I was captivated, to be honest. And she was just spectacular in it. So yeah, Ruth would probably be my personal favorite, but I can't see it being Emma Stone by the Academy. Although I don't even think it was
Her best
her
performance.
best performance, especially not
Yeah.
with Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's. We'll get to this in a second.
Yeah.
Again, I hate beating up on it, but I feel like it's one of those movies that's just getting out of because it's cheery and hopeful. But yeah, I don't even think it's Ryan Gosling's best role of the year.
Yeah. So, next up, actor in a leading role. We have Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea, Andrew Garfield for Hacksaw Ridge, Ryan Gosling, La La Land, Viggo Mortensen, Captain Fantastic, and Denzel Washington for Fences.
Just as a quick aside, who would have imagined that in 2016, Casey would have been the Affleck nominated for Best Actor in a leading role? And I'm not even talking about Batman versus Superman, but Ben had The Accountant and he had The Fight Night, which were both kind of, the quote unquote Oscar bait movies.
True.
But,
Personally, this is for me between Casey Affleck and Andrew Garfield. I like both the performances quite a lot in both these movies. I think Casey Affleck was just amazingly natural in who he played in there. I mean, I guess it being like in the New England area, it's where he grew up, so I guess that probably helps, but that doesn't take away from the performance, I think. And he also has just some really emotional scenes, but his character is someone who tries to hide his emotion and acting that out where you can see the cracks in this human being must be incredibly tough. And I thought like that was spectacular. And for Andrew Garfield, I felt like that movie has requires a lot of range from him. Like he has to do quite the emotional scenes and also quite some action. And I thought he tackled both just really well. But now that I've
Yeah.
talked it out, I would probably say as personal favorite Casey Affleck.
Yeah, I think Casey Affleck is the favorite to win this. I think the only thing that clouds it for me, well, I don't think the Academy plays politics much, but I do know that a lot of people are trying to kind of separate him out from this just because of his history, his personal history. But yeah, it sounds like this is his year to win.
So you think he's also the
Yeah.
Academy pick?
Yeah.
I could actually see that because I like just because when we go be shitting on La La Land again, but I like Ryan Gosling quite a lot, but I don't think La La Land was his best performance. I have read a lot of critiques of La La Land and where they talk about how great his chemistry was with Emma Stone. And personally, for me, that chemistry only worked in a couple of scenes, like when he was playing in that 80s cover band. That whole scene, I thought that chemistry was quite amazing. And possibly the dinner, I think they have near the end. But overall, when I think about the chemistry and what he did, I thought like I probably liked more in Crazy Stupid Love comparatively. So that's why I would probably be bitter if he wins just because everyone loves La La Land.
Like I said, it's not even his best performance of last year. I think that's the nice guys.
I would agree. So. Also, he just shows amazing comedic chops in that, but the Academy doesn't recognize comedy, so.
No, which is a shame, because I think he had much better chemistry with
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe than he did with Emma Stone.
Yep.
And they weren't
they
even
did
trying
really
to make
well together.
They weren't even trying to make out with each other, so.
Who knows what happens behind the scenes?
Okay, so final award, the best picture.
Okay, best picture category. This I think we will talk a bit more about the movies actually, so in case people haven't seen them. But first, just running down, we have best picture, Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. So, to me, like I said, I haven't seen Fences, sadly. I've seen all the others. And one, I think this is a pretty strong selection this year. Stronger than it has probably been the last 2 or 3 years. Would you agree?
Yeah. I will say it's the first year in maybe 3 years that I've actually been encouraged to see the movies nominated. It has been years where there's stuff like, oh, okay, and then I've just kind of gone with my business. But there's a lot of these films that I've seen since then and that I still want to see before next Sunday.
Yeah. Also, they feel overall, I mean, there are a lot of dramas in there, but overall it feels also like a pretty diverse lineup. We have Arrival as a hard sci-fi movie with which is a lot about just scientists doing great science work and about linguistics. Then we have some heavy dramas with Fences, Lion, and Moonlight. A war movie with Hacksaw Ridge. Then basically a western with Hell or High Water. Then I guess a period piece with Hidden Figures. Could you call it that? I don't know. I just don't want to call it a pure drama, because Hidden Figures is just not just drama. It also has comedic elements and historical relevance, I think. I forgot Manchester by the Sea to mention that during drama and Moonlight, but whatever. But
and technically, I guess it's a musical comedy.
Yeah, exactly. So I also feel like that's like genre-wise a pretty good selection this year. But when it comes to personal favorites, so let's talk about La La Land. First of all, I think the Academy is going to pick La La Land. So let's get that out of the way. But here's why I don't think La La Land is all that good. I think it's just okay.
Okay, see, I was about to say, don't start from that premise that you... Because I do think it's a good movie.
Yeah,
don't
I do think it's a good
wrong.
Movie, yeah. But I think it's just okay. And it doesn't hang with the rest of the movies in here.
Ed, I think... I guess we'll get to this. But I think really where it falters is like the final half an hour is just kind of... Eh.
Yes. And the other problem for me is for a movie that is supposedly about a guy who loves jazz, there's not much jazz in it. All the music is kind of not jazz.
I guess that's part of his arc, is how much is he willing to give up to pursue his dream.
But even the beginning, I mean, all the songs themselves are also nothing like jazz.
Oh, you meant like actual, like the actual like musical numbers.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. Because let's say they do play jazz.
Yeah, I mean the musical numbers.
Yeah, that is a very fair point. You would think that they have ample opportunity to include some type of jazz musical number in there.
Yeah, and then we also have like what some people have brought up, the problems of like white appropriation of jazz. But I don't know if I want to get into this right now here, but I can see that as a point.
Oh, I totally get that. I didn't even know about this, but and I try not to think of it in that way. But I'm watching a movie, and I'm like, okay, so we have, you know, it's all about jazz music. music and stuff like that. And the first black dude doesn't come into the movie until like half an hour in. And it's for him to show Emma Stone's character what jazz music is. And then the other guy doesn't come in. And even then, he's kind of back up to Ryan Gosling. And he doesn't believe in pure jazz anymore. That's only something that the white man can sustain, apparently.
Also, to me personally, I didn't think like Ryan Gosling's character was in any way charming. He was in other movies, he would be that kind of music nerd asshole that gets on the nerves of everyone else.
Yeah,
So.
I think I don't I don't well I'm not gonna say I don't blame him, but I feel like that's Ryan Gosling. Like I feel like if you don't rein him in, that's kind of how he comes off.
I guess, but it, I mean, he. But the character's also written that way, and like he's really into this thing and has to convince everyone that it's super important and needs to be saved and needs to
Yeah.
mansplain it a lot.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing for me, and this is a very minor thing, is I feel like it makes no use of any of its side characters. And she has the boyfriend, and you see like one dinner date, and that's it. She has the roommate who convinced her to go to the party, and that's pretty much it for them. I mean, they say stuff, but that's about it. You have Ryan Gosling, he joins a band. And you see the band members a few times, but they don't really do anything other than to acknowledge his existence. And her, she, you know, she there's a scene with Emma Stone's dad, and again, nothing really comes of that.
Also think like story arc wise, it's quite predictable,
See,
except for the end. I think the end is actually spectacular in how they end that movie. It's also brave in a way, but I don't think that saves the entire story of the film.
No, and I and he, it's not a not your dad, but I feel like it betrays the message of the film, because ultimately it's like if you stay in Hollywood, you'll become successful no matter what. And I mean, I don't think that's the story of many people who do that.
Yeah, but here's why it will win. Because it is exactly about that, about these characters that are so determined to make it in Stinseltown, to be what they always wanted to be, and how great is Hollywood that is possible for them. How great is Hollywood? And that is why it's going to win.
I want to say I disagree with you, but yeah, I see, and it's the same thing again with the artist, where it's like Hollywood's great, isn't it? It's fantastic, and it gives it's a very cheery picture. He gets to become he owns his jazz club, he names it after her, or he names it the name she suggested. She becomes a famous actress just in time with that one TV role, apparently. So yeah, it's like I felt like where I thought the movie would have gone, and I think it would have been a bit more interesting, is like one got to live out their dream and the other didn't. But ultimately they both did, and then they couldn't have each other, which I guess is the message there, is you can't have, which doesn't make sense because she finds somebody. She seems happy. Or she seems content, I guess.
But like we said, we probably come off more negative than we're trying to be. It's just for us, this movie was just okay, and
I think of
not
the
the
ones that
spectacular masterpiece that some people, well, actually, a
yeah
lot of
make it
people probably try to sell it as.
yeah and yeah like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good movie. I'm never going to take that away, but like of the other ones I've seen, I'm like, this is the one that I felt most like, oh okay, about. Where like with like Moonlight and Arrival, I especially with Arrival, I saw that movie, I'm like, okay, I completely get it. Like I get this, especially in a theater, there's so much to love about that film. And I do think, and in this case, I do think the marketing didn't help this movie, because I thought this was going to be like an alien invasion movie from the marketing. And it's not, I mean, like, literally, it's a movie that I'm like, I spent 2 hours and they somehow made the linguistics interesting and sexy. Like, I'm like, like how people always talk about when they see Star Wars and they want to become astronauts or they want to become physicists. I'm like, yeah, I can go into linguistics. It seems like a really fun thing to do. I'm assuming it's not.
But well, it might be. If you're interested in that kind of stuff, it might actually be super fascinating.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to be needed for alien invasions.
And the thing about it is, like I said, it isn't your typical alien invasion. Personally, I knew that all along, but because I heard about the short story beforehand. But not only does it make the craft of science interesting and shows how important it is, it also does all the right things that you usually wish a movie like that would do, in showing, like, yes, the military is important and stuff, but the real work is done by the scientists. Otherwise, nothing would go on. And at the same time, it's also... It is kind of bleak for a lot of its runtime. But it ends actually in a quite emotional space and on a hopeful note. And on a hopeful note for the whole of humanity, in a way. And that's actually something you might not expect at all.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing. I mean, like you said, we've seen a lot of alien and alien invasion movies, but how often do we ever see them actually try to communicate? Like, the thing, like the shortcut most people think take is, like, either all aliens natively speak English, or all aliens can quickly adapt to any language they encounter.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's taken, like, what could be in most movies the most boring aspect of it, deciding that we're going to run with it and we're going to expand it out. We're going to somehow make this interesting, not just in a movie, but visually and audio. Like I said, you know, great cinematography, great directing, like you said, great use of empty space or white space. Great use of visualization of languages. I mean, it helps that the alien's language is a more visual form, but, like, you know, again, like, they could have you sit there reading subtitles all day, but to turn it into an actual visual craft and seeing how they break it down, again, you know, like, in the wrong hands, this movie would have been a boring, tedious mess.
Yeah.
But it's intriguing, and it hooks you, and then the twist comes, and it puts everything in perspective, and then you kind of, like you said, it ends on a hopeful note, but you also kind of feel sorrow for her.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing in how it ends, and how language even plays into the end, and the whole mechanics of everything. It's something. The whole thing is quite something. And I can say that would be my personal favorite.
Yeah, that's my personal favorite of the year, of these nominees. And I will be honest with you, that doesn't happen every time. Like, I've seen a lot of Academy films where I'm like, oh, I like the film and I understand why it's nominated, but it doesn't really stay with me beyond that. Where this Arrival, I'm like, I get it and I love it. I think, you know, in a year with like 15 comic book movies, like, this is like one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it was my favorite movie last year as well.
And it's just so well done. And I think, again, it's also just something that we don't see often. And how often do you see, like, a new angle tackled in Hollywood done so well? Yeah. And you know, we give credit to Amy Adams, but there's a lot of people. I think this is probably Jeremy Renner's best role.
Yeah, could be, yeah.
I mean, it's not a high benchmark for him, no offense.
At least since Hurt Locker, let's say it that way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And because it's weird, he's one of those people who I feel like once he hit blockbuster level, his career kind of tapered off. Because he was in Hurt Locker, and he was also in, what is that other didn't he do one with Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper?
I honestly don't remember right now.
Okay, and I got rid of my tablet, which I had keeping notes. But yeah, he did great. You know, a lot of these characters who get minor scenes do great work with it. And again, just that ending sticks with you.
Mm. Yeah. I still want to talk maybe about some of my other favorites. I want to say Manchester by the Sea. I liked it quite a bit. Like, that to me though is mainly a really good performance movie. Like, there were a lot of good performances in it. which you can tell by the number of nominations it's got for its actors. But to me personally, I mean, it also was emotional, but it's...
It
wasn't interesting enough on a visual level for me. It felt quite pedestrian in that way.
I want to see it, but the way people also make it sound, it sounds like it's... You know those movies where like the dog dies at the end? It sounds like... I don't know if it's true, but the way people talk about it, I'm just like, am I just going to be here in a bottle of tears at the end?
You're probably going to be in tears in a couple of spots during the whole movie.
Okay. Oh, and just as an aside, the movie I was thinking was American Hustle.
Ah, that right. American Hustle, yeah. Also with Amy Adams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the movie... Actually, two movies made me actually cry way more than Manchester by the Sea. The first one is Lion. It's based on a real story, and the trailer basically gives away the rough arc of this Indian boy getting lost basically in India, being far away from his mother, and then getting adopted by an Australian family, and then struggling with his own identity in Australia when he gets older, and then trying to find his mother, actually, his biological mother in India. And by the end of it, when he goes to India and actually finds his mother, and when they get together, and Dev Patel is just amazing in the scene, I couldn't stop my tears. It was a great movie. The only thing that for me held back, like maybe the first part, which is actually half a movie, is about in his childhood in India. I think that part was maybe a little too long. You could maybe shorten that a little bit and make to maybe give his identity struggle a little more room in the second half. I think that might have made it even better. And the other one which really touched me was Moonlight, but maybe you want to talk a bit about Moonlight.
Moonlight is a tough one. I mean, okay, because I liked the movie and I appreciate it, but I think I liked it more for tackling a subject that isn't tackled often and actually tackling it in a very mature way. You know, like, one, even now, I think there's still a lot of gay-oriented movies that are still kind of tacky. I think it's something that, you know, we've kind of gotten to a point where people do it respectively now, but you don't often see it through an African-American perspective. And I think
isn't just any African-American, it's also someone who grows up in a really tough neighborhood.
Yeah, and that was going to be the other thing. Is like, and I think this is one of the big things with Ali's role, is that it's a father figure who doesn't hold it against him. He doesn't turn against him. He doesn't hate him. He doesn't hit him. It's not something that is used to mentally abuse him, which is, again, you know, like, homophobia is a big thing in society. But I think what people sometimes forget, it's a much bigger part of African American identities. There's a lot of negative stigmas associated with it,
this movie I thought like tackles that part really well, in the way that you can they make it real clear how, because of how the movie structured with the three parts of his life basically. Yeah. You can really tell how, no matter how old he gets, he can't really escape the societal pressures, and he's forced his entire life to basically live hidden in a way.
Yeah, and I think it's also reflective in, you know, and his partner, I guess, because you look at it from the end point where you find out like he has a wife or had a wife and he has kids, and it's like you kind of understand from their history together that, you know, it could be that he has an interest in that, but it does seem like it was pressures of becoming like everybody else. And it's the same thing with I forget his act. He has the three different names, but yeah, it's also like how you introduce him as an adult. He's essentially a drug dealer, and like one of the first things is like, "Oh, where's all the honeys at?" And he's like, "Oh, you know, I got them on this." And again, he has no problem doing illegal stuff. It's just that part of his identity he needs to hide from the rest of the world. And again, I think it's really well done. And like I was saying before with directing, I think what's so key to this is the fact that they got three actors who understood the character, and each could reflect a different part of his. Because it's not just about that identity, but it's also about his identity in growing up in this environment. You kind of see him as a kid not knowing anything about like what his mom. He kind of understands what his mom's doing, but you know, like he gets into the business because of Ali's character. Well, he doesn't get into it, but he's introduced to it that way. And then as a teenager, he has the surrogate mother who's trying to keep him off the streets. But then he has his junkie mother who he has to support and all this other stuff. And as an adult, he's full blown into that life now because of one mistake he made as a teenager. And you know, it is what it is. It also kind of goes to, and I hate using this term, but it kind of goes to the toxic male toxic masculinity that we have in this society, where he's getting bullied as a teenager, but he doesn't want to rat them out because it doesn't look good on you. So he takes it out physically, but he goes to the extreme, and this has him sent away. And that pretty much, you know, he's disconnected from that part of his life for a good, what, 10 years or so.
That's, I think that was with, yeah.
Yeah, but on the bright side and the good side is like you also kind of see his mom, who goes from this really bad junkie to a junkie who basically prostitutes herself out for money, to she cleans herself up and she kind of begins to help people. And it's she had to get away from her environment for her to do that. It's the same way that her son had to get away from his environment, but he had to come back in at the end to kind of recompete himself.
Yeah. And last movie I already talked a bit about Hacksaw Ridge, which I really enjoyed. I want to give a little bit of props to Hidden Figures, though. That's probably also one of these kind of important movies because it also handles racism. And but what I liked about Hidden Figures was, despite its heavy themes, it was one of those movies that kind of ended up being a feel-good movie, I feel like.
It's not probably not a feel good, like these women are super rich now, but I
Yeah.
imagine it's a sense of accomplishment for them because it
Yes.
is ultimately about how they tackle this big problem to get this craft into space. And I mean, we know they accomplished it from history. So it's kind of more a person like their personal accomplishment for each character.
And to me, this was a good movie because I felt like it didn't fall into a lot of the traps biographical pictures often fall into, on how they present characters and stuff like that. Maybe that's also because it's not just one character that is covered, but I thought like being really focused on this one issue and then bring the personal issues in basically in small side scenes. I really liked that part, to be honest. How they did that whole thing.
Yeah. I do want to see Hidden Figures. I really, really do. It's just that the timing for actually going to the theaters hasn't worked out for me just yet. But I am also happy, you know, as an aside or personally, that it's doing super well in the box office. I believe it's right now the highest grossing Best Picture nominee of this group.
Oh, it actually is.
And
Okay. I didn't know that.
yeah, it just surpassed and I think a few weeks ago. So yeah, it's one of those things where I think more than anything, more than if it wins or not, if it wins, it would be great. But I think more than anything, just getting that a recognition, because again, sometimes we want to keep this as clean as possible with the awards, but there is that stigma that like movies with non-white leads don't sell. Non-white male leads, because you still have the stigma that female movies don't sell well. So you have a movie with three black women, person of color women in the lead doing so well, it does send the message that these movies can be made, these movies can make money, and these movies can be critically acclaimed. So that's always a positive, especially coming off of Oscar So White last year, to have something like this in such a prominent role going into this show.
This year overall is quite different compared to last year in that regard, and like Oscar So White this year not so much.
Though I am curious, and I probably notice, so since we can start wrapping, do you watch the Oscar side? Because I know it starts at like 8 p.m. here, so.
Nah, probably not. I tried last year, but I fell asleep. So I will probably just look at the results in the morning, or maybe if there is like a repeat in the morning. I haven't checked if they do it this year, but usually they do that. Then maybe I just, when I wake up, I think it is on Saturday, right?
It's Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday night.
Okay, then Monday morning when I wake up, maybe I get a chance to see it then. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah, I will say this much. It's the most prestigious awards we have. A point blank, I mean, there's no other awards that kind of comes close to it in prestige. I do wish in some ways that they modernize the presentation, though.
Okay.
Because... like you said, it can kind of, because it goes on for like 3.5 hours, sometimes sometimes close to 4 hours, depending on how long speeches run. It can kind of be quite a slog, because for a general audience, like this year is going to be a bit different because I'm invested in a few movies in it. That means I'm invested in a lot of different categories. But in years past, like I said, sometimes you don't necessarily care for the nominees. So it's just like watching a show where it's like, I'm not really championing anything. Doesn't mean you need to champion something. But like, the Golden Globe masters that with humor. The Oscars kind of plays everything straight.
That's very true.
Yeah, so... and I mean, the best things that come out of it is, and it sucked that it wasn't even nominated the year it came out, but like the year the Lego movie came out, they had they had the stage performance of Everything Is Awesome, and they have stage Adele did Skyfall 1 year, so it's great to have that stuff to kind of break up the awards and the technical speak. But I do think they need to, I always said that I think the Game Awards, it needs to borrow something from the Game Awards. Like, the Game Awards needs to take something from the Oscars, but I think the Oscars also needs to understand how to make, and then like, it's no longer a private event that's viewed by a few people in attendance. It's a global event, and I don't think they've actually modernized it for TV yet.
Yeah,
but we'll see. And I'm also not, who is it? Is it Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon hosting it this year?
I want to say Jimmy Kimmel.
That's going to be interesting.
But yeah, so this is our Oscar special, in which we discussed a lot why La La Land is just okay, but is going to win everything anyway. But Arrival should actually get all the awards. Is that a good way to sum this up?
Yes.
Yeah. People watch Arrival, watch Kubo. Those are good movies. And maybe not enough people have seen them.
I will say this much. Like I said, it's one of those years where I would recommend watching most of these movies, checking them out. There's a huge swath of categories. I mean, a lot of movies that come across different categories. There's even awards for people to champion or not champion if you're a smaller scale. Doctor Strange is nominated for 2 awards, I think. Suicide Squad is up there. Fantastic Beasts is there. So, sometimes those help out to keep people's interest in. Everybody wants that one comic book movie to finally win an Academy Award. Well, I mean, I guess like Best Picture, because, The Dark Knight has an Academy Award for Best Actor in a Supporting Role and stuff like that. But, it's always a good time. So, yeah.
And I think a lot of also the big dramas like Moon Knight and stuff, I think a lot of them are also now already available via streaming in the US, if I'm not mistaken.
And that's a big part. Arrival is, Moon Knight is,
I think
probably a few.
No, not Hidden Figures.
Hacksaw Ridge might be.
And Manchester by the Sea, I want to say.
And if not, and this is probably super late now, but I believe the Regal Cinema, certain chains in this state are doing an Oscar weekend. So I think starting Thursday, it's like $35. And there's like each day has like a block of like four movies that you can watch, like the Best Picture nominees. And if you check your local theaters, by the time this goes up, it's probably too late. Some of them are having like, they have special like short films or short animated film features that you can watch for like 2 hours. And you know, again, if it's always nice to kind of, I've been trying to diversify the type of movies I see, especially in theaters, and this is a great time to do it.
Yes, exactly. So for Earl and me, this has been the Amazingly Average Show special for the Oscars.
Auf Wiedersehen.